Welcome to the What Anyone Can Do podcast with Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. This show picks up where our previous show, You're the Peer, left off, highlighting the simple truth that who you surround yourself with matters, and that if we enlist the support of others, give back to those who give to us, and pay it forward for the next generation, we can do anything. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari and I talk with a diverse group of thought leaders who will share stories and insights that will help you succeed in business and in life. How? By doing the things anyone can do, but most of us never will. The hiatus is over. It wasn't necessary. Well, it's kind of sort of planned, but welcome back to another episode of What Anyone Can Do, the podcast. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. He is Leo Battari. He is in San Diego. Well, he's back home now in San Diego, California. Been away for a while. Got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, what anyone can't do is connect like this when you don't have a reliable internet situation, which is a bit of what we deal with, not to mention 9 hours time difference, at least Pacific time, 7 hours time difference in terms of doing anything here, which is not always easy to manage. That might have involved having to do podcasts at 9 or 10 o'clock at night when people are out having dinner and drinking and all that kind of stuff, and probably not the best scenario, you know.
No, and doing things far more pleasant than doing a podcast.
It started off, of course, as you know, this was pretty much straight from here to Paris to Oslo to do the conference about getting future ready with the Executive Growth Alliance. And that was really outstanding, actually. I will say that the participants were super engaged. It was probably 70 to 80, I would say, participants there. You had, you know, Chris Katarna and Thomas Anglero, who, of course, we had on the podcast, and just a, you know, host of other folks who were just it was just great, you know, and really enjoyed it, really learned a lot, and I hope that we see and hear a lot more from Executive Growth Alliance. You know, interestingly enough, I think it was a thing that came out today at Forbes, where they were talking about the top 100 or so innovative leaders, and I think 99 of them or something of that nature were men. So one of the first things I did was I wrote Jennifer real quick, Jennifer Vessels, Executive Growth Alliance, and I said, I think somebody needs to come up with a list that, you know, recognizes and identifies some of the women leaders, you know, here, you know, as well, who are doing really innovative things at all. It isn't just all about, you know, the guys leading in innovation. So that's for sure. So I bet, in fact, she will do that. So it was, you know, again, terrific event. Great time. You know, similar to what we discussed with Thomas Anglero when he was here, is that, you know, you've got a situation with, you know, AI and technology in the future and all these things that people are concerned about. And yet what Thomas wants to talk about is who are you? And the fact is that it's our humanity that separates us from machines. And the reality also is that, you know, our ability to work together and bring to the table what human beings are uniquely capable of doing is really what it's all about. And, you know, he reiterated that point at the conference as well. So, you know, it was really, really good stuff. But, you know, after that, it was kind of all about just getting a bit of time off, you know, and we all need it. And after spending that time off, which was, you know, nearly 2 weeks, it really made me think about vacation and what that often means for just about anyone working in organizations today. And oftentimes what it means is you get 2 weeks vacation, you get 3 weeks vacation, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever that happens to be. In some more rare instances, you have companies that have certainly adopted policies where there's unlimited vacation. No matter where it falls on the spectrum, you have to be able to feel like you don't just get allotted vacation. You can actually take the vacation and do so in a way that is both embraced and supported by the organization while you're gone. And not, it's not about making you feel guilty. It's not about putting all kinds of crazy pressure on you. It's not doing these kinds of things. It's actually to give you that time to recharge, because we all need it. And, you know, it may be, that's why the Thomas thing struck me, because, you know, machines don't work indefinitely without some type of either constant source of power or recharging, right? And certainly humans aren't able to do it either. And we all need that break. And when we think about it over the context of a whole year from a productivity standpoint, we come out way ahead when we take those necessary breaks, when we get that necessary time. You know, put together a piece for CEO World, which we will leave the link in the show notes for this, where we need to just relax, you know, just take time just to, you know, hear our own just breath and tap into our resting heart rate and do all the kinds of things that just allow us just to take a moment to breathe. And usually I think when we have those moments, we will tend to reflect. We'll tend to start thinking about, hey, what are we doing? What's going on in our lives? And also, I think, appreciate during that reflection time what's really great about our lives. Not just, I think when we're in the day-to-day grind, it's so easy to complain about, well, there's this going on and that going on. You're pissed about that and you're, you know, upset about something else. And, you know, when it's kind of nice to just sit back for a minute and say, you know what, there's a lot of really good things here. You know, and at the same time, once we've kind of relaxed and reflected, hopefully that allows us to be kind of a bit rejuvenated. And we think about, well, what actions do I want to take now that I've reflected about me, about how I can be a better partner, a better dad, a better employee, a better leader, a better, whatever that may happen to be. You know, how can we be better at that and do that? And you kind of come back with that fresh, I think perspective, you know, on one hand, because hopefully when you've been on a vacation, you've maybe taken in some things that allow for that. But also you just kind of, you just had your rest. You're just kind of ready to kind of go again. And with
an amazing clarity, amazing the clarity that you can get with just a little bit of, well, the word that you used in the title of the piece was reflection.
Yeah, it's the three R's as opposed to reading, writing, arithmetic. We've got, you know, basically relax, reflect, and rejuvenate. And I like to think that vacation allows for that. And if you're a CEO and you're not encouraging that for all of your people, that you're really missing the boat. And I say that really for a couple of reasons. One is not for only for the obvious reasons we talked about, but if you've actually said to them, because if you know that here's your vacation time, here's what it looks like. So there's two ways this can go. You either ride with the current and say, you're on vacation, great. You know, excited, how can we help you? What can we do to make that week, you know, the rest that it should be for you? And kind of go from there, as opposed to be like, oh, boy, it's that week. Oh, yeah. I don't know. And that's all you need to say, right?
You walk we need away, to do before you leave.
And everyone's freaked out now about like, oh, no, now I can't leave and I'm going to lose my job, you know, and all this other kind of nonsense. And it's like, you know, the point is if you're giving them the vacation anyway, that actually, let's get the total benefit from it, both in terms of the relationship they have with you and what they can actually get out of it, you know, while they're on vacation. Because I think both of us, I'm sure, you know, you've got stories from your, you know, days where you just had that situation where you just never felt, you know, right about it. And, you know,
It's hard enough. You know, the first part of the first R that you hit is difficult enough, at least mentally. You know, I think people making, okay, you go to some, wherever it is you love to go, whether it's the mountains or the beach or whatever, and maybe you can rest, you feel like you can rest physically, but the emotional stuff, it takes some time.
That's why in the article I mentioned you should be taking 2 weeks off minimum. This is where I think a lot of other countries around the world have this right when it comes to the amount of vacation you have, number one, and the fact that you need to take the time off, because if anyone ever has taken 2 weeks vacation, they realize that it's week two is when it really, that relaxation part that you talk about really starts to kick in, because it does take time. I mean, you can't, you know, because by the time you get geared up down in day three and four, you're already thinking about the fact that you have to go back in like 2 or 3 days later. And, yeah, you know, it just doesn't work. But 2 weeks starts to feel like you can breathe a bit. And, you know, I think it makes all
the difference. And with travel, you know, then you've got the emotional stresses of leaving things behind. And, you know, the culture may drive you to feel guilty. It may not. You just may feel guilty on your own. So there's that. And then add the travel stress, which in today's climate, if you're getting in an airplane, that's a hassle.
Well, and if you recognize too, in the human beings, you're not just leaving your work behind. You know, could be kids. It could be all kinds of things. It could be your, and you've got other stresses and other things going on. And I just feel like whether you're the CEO, whether you're the leader of your team, whatever, the last thing you should be doing is making people feel anything but amazing about the fact that they deserve this time off. They need this time off. It's important for them. It's important for the company. And, you know, I even made a point that in the article that if you're the CEO and you haven't taken vacation, not only do people want you to have all those things that we talk about, but to put it more plainly, you become a real pain in the ass when you're just there all the time. And you just, it's like, please take time away. You know, your vacation will be our vacation when you do that. And
we need the break.
And not because, you know, all of a sudden everybody can relax because the boss is gone. The fact is, I think everything opens up and everybody can start really, really being productive and really doing, you know, what they need to do in a lot of cases. And so,
well, there are countless stories of leaders who have bailed out for a few weeks only to come back and found things in far better shape than when they left it.
I know, which is surprising.
Well, not really, you know, not really, because people step up. People step up. They surprise us in very pleasant ways quite often. But I think you're right. I think you're onto something with that whole gratitude notion. And I do think it takes some time and perspective to, you know, to figure out, you know, my life's, this isn't so bad. Business isn't so bad. I was talking to a CEO the other day and he was talking about, you know, this whole grass is greener thing. And he was looking at some other industry that he thought, man, I would die to have their margins, you know, cause he's in a razor thin margin industry, as so many are. And, we continue to talk and I happened to have a little bit of insight about this other industry. And I said, yeah, you know, all that glitters ain't gold. You know, you know where your warts are. You don't know where their warts are. And conversely, you lose sight of what you've got to really be thankful for in your industry, as opposed to some difficulties that you may not be aware of in others. So.
Absolutely. I also think that, you know, again, we start looking at things in a very micro way. We look at this week, next week, the week after, we look at hitting our monthly numbers, looking at our quarterly numbers. But when we talk about those big things like employee engagement or ability to really implement and execute against strategic initiatives, and we look at the year as a whole and what that productivity looks like over time, that vacation actually doesn't take away from productivity. I think it actually fuels it. And this is the mindset I think we need to think about in terms of, and I'm not talking long-term like 5 years, I'm talking about 6 months to a year. You start really feeling, you know, those kind of benefits where we again, and we've talked a lot on the show just about being systems thinkers, you know, about understanding the impact of small things over time and difference it makes. Actually, it was really fascinating. One of the here's a great I think example of this. So we're in France and we're learning about, because we're in Bordeaux, and the vines go on and on and on. They are everywhere. And they talk about how in Bordeaux, they pay the people who pick the grapes by the hour. In the U.S., at least as they were describing it there, and this may not be everywhere, but they pay them by volume. So, because of course in the U.S., what are we thinking about? Well, we don't want anyone lollygagging out there and stretching this thing out, so now we'll have to pay more money. Their perspective on it is, we don't want people rifling through, you know, these vineyards, picking whatever, just to make sure that their basket's full, if you will. We want quality. We want the care. We care about, you know, what this wine is by the time it ends up getting in a bottle. And the fact is that when you pay people by the hour, then they no longer have this feeling that they've got to race through just to accumulate volume, that they can actually do what you're asking of them, which is to, here are the things you need to look for when you're picking these clusters, for example, and how to go about doing it. And this is, they look at that as just one simple way among many things that drives the quality of the wine. And I thought, well, how fascinating, right? And we think about how we compensate people or how we do things and what impact it has on the way they approach their jobs, you know? And this is where, you know, being on vacation and, again, probably being among those people, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, who have taken far too few 2-week vacations in the course of their career, you start realizing how powerful and how beneficial it really can be. And by the way, that 2-week vacation doesn't have to be going to France. It doesn't have to be going whatever. I mean, you get lucky to be able to do something like that this time around. But hey, it could be staying home with your kids for a couple of weeks. It could be, you know, doing day trips to different places that you never quite have time to do in the hustle and bustle of your, you know, work day, work week or weekends or whatever, and just spend that kind of time with, you know, who you surround yourself with matters, right? I mean, talk about in what we did. So the week, a week of this 2-week vacation was part of being on a barge where there was 3 couples and a crew of 4. Now, very incredible, obviously, from that standpoint in terms of the ratio. But the bottom line is, for as many great places we saw and things we were able to do, we had great wine and food and all that kind of stuff. But what made the vacation work, where we had the right 6 people around the table and in that boat every single day, where we knew one another, we had wonderful conversations, we, you know, engaged each other in ways, and it was that human connection that we all had that in the end, you know, because I've gotten some texts today where people are saying, you know, great vacation, great places, great this, that, and the other thing. We saw all that in the brochure. What we loved about it was we had time to really sit in a relaxed environment and just talk and have really, you know, good interaction, engagement with one another. And it made all the difference in the world.
But the whole barge thing is really, I mean, it's such a great metaphor anyway for just pulling away from any sense of urgency, you know, which is what the daily grind is all about, which is what vacation, I think, should be about, of getting away from that sense of urgency. And to your point, getting away from that short-term thinking where you can engage a little longer view. I mean, that barge is moving at, I think you said it. I mean, it's a walk.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
So sometimes you might sit in the barge and just chill and read a book or hang out and talk with folks. And then there were other times where there were 3 of us, 3 of the guys and 3 women, you know, and the 3 guys who were on the boat every once in a while, because we enjoyed running. So we'd go for a run, and then we'd catch the barge later on. Of course, you'd outrun the barge easily. So you're out doing your thing or whatever. And then you'd catch it at one of the locks where you could reboard the barge and go from there. And then we'd go for a while. Or they had mountain bikes on the barge. So you could take those off. And some people may want to just relax that day. Other people want to go and take a bike out for 10 miles or so. And then again, it's so easy to reconnect. But different people in different combinations did different things like that. And, you know, it was so funny to actually land in a place that is big as Paris, go to a city like Bordeaux, which is also pretty substantial in its own right size. But then in the context of the places we would visit along these canals off the Garonne River, we'd go to places like Nérac, where, like, you're looking at buildings that are, you know, just 500 plus years old in these old towns and with very few people, and yet the loveliest environment. It was just extraordinary. And again, you know, you could just feel your pulse rate going, you know, going to nothing, you know, and it was kind of nice, you know, and you realize how important that time is and how important it is, you know, and as you know today, you know, at the end of the article for CEO World, I basically said, look, if you're a CEO, you know, we're all talking about the data that we all select and pick and we make decisions on or whatever. So I'm thinking, here's a piece of data you can go after. Go check out your folks. Find out who hasn't taken vacation to speak of, right? And say, and suggest that they do that. You know what? You need to do that. And we want you to do that. And by the way, obviously on your calendar and your thing, but just know that we think it's important. And by the way, if you go away a week or two, whatever that looks like, tell us how we can support you while you're gone. Think about that scenario and how that makes an employee feel, right? That you're paying attention to those kinds of things, because now it starts to be about the whole person. It isn't just to be, did you deliver my numbers last week, right? For whatever metric you're being measured against at a different time, that there's a bit of balance around that. And again, I don't care if you're the CEO or leader or whatever.
Yeah, but that involves, you know, human to human, you know, personal interaction. And it's just, I'll just write a check to a consulting firm, come do a 360 assessment, tell us how good our employee engagement is.
There you go. Sure.
So stupid. Yeah. People to people stuff.
It's like, you know, people who, you go into companies and there's suggestion boxes and they're like, right. Really? So your culture apparently is such that you have to anonymously put something in a suggestion box. You actually can't make a suggestion, you know, that might actually benefit the organization in some way. We do all these things and have all these devices or whatever. But, you know, obviously I think a key part and a big takeaway for me personally, which is why I really wanted to share it, because I don't think my experience is different from a lot of people in that you probably haven't taken a lot of 2-week vacations. You were probably made to feel guilty about it to begin with. You probably, and you know, I'm not going to say, who knows, maybe, you know, I might hear from someone, you know, when I ran my company 20 years ago, that I wasn't all that excited when they took the 2 weeks off or something either. I don't know. I hope I was that person who was excited about it. But if I wasn't and someone called me on it, I would say I was dead wrong on that, you know, and, you know, but I think we need to think about, and I think Patrick Lencioni does a great job of, you know, you read his books and he does such a wonderful job of reminding leaders how important it is to take an interest in your employees as human beings, you know. Find out how many kids they have, find out, you know, learn about their lives a little bit, you know, share some of your own life. And actually this is where this starts to break down barriers in terms of, sure, you know, you may not be, you know, earning the income of the CEO or be in that situation, but you find yourself sharing a lot of common challenges, circumstances, and things like that I think connect all of us in very important and very powerful ways. You know, again, maybe part of this is a little bit of my reflection time as I was sitting on that barge, you know, one day after the next, again, enjoying the people around me and thinking so much about, no matter what my circumstance or what my challenges may be, or like we all have, I'm thinking, God, am I just really lucky, you know, and I'm trying to come into whether it's this podcast or hopefully the coming weeks and months in the next year and realize that, you know, I've got a whole lot to be grateful for. And I want to figure out how I can be the very best person I can be personally and professionally going forward. And again, I just express that on a personal level. But I think for all of us, if we allow ourselves to go through that kind of, you know, journey, if you will, during time off, I think it's incredibly restorative and really powerful.
Well, I think it's spot on, and I think it's spot on for us personally. If we have to view our lives as a resource, because it is, and it's not limitless. It is renewable to a degree, which is really the subject here of renewing the resource that is your life. But as you were talking, I was reminded of that story of I think it was a grandson of John Adams. You know, the young man had written in the journal, you've probably heard that story, you know, he took the day off to take his son. It was here, I'll look it up so I get this right. I don't want to be factually wrong here. Charles Francis Adams, grandson of John Adams and son of John Quincy Adams.
I like it. All right.
Served as a Massachusetts state senator, U.S. congressman, and ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln. And Adams was very conscientious about keeping a daily journal, and he encouraged his kids to do the same. Well, his fourth child was named Henry. And so young Henry followed that advice, and he journaled. And there was a particular entry that was written when Henry was 8 that captured people's attention. And it was following a day that he had spent with his father. And he wrote, "Went fishing with my father today, the most glorious day of my life." The day was so glorious, in fact, that Brooks continued to talk and write about that particular day for the next 30 years. And it was then that Brooks thought, you know, I'm going to compare my journal with my dad's. And he found the entry that his father, Charles, had written that day, "Went fishing with my son, a day wasted." It's just one of the most spectacularly sad things to me. But I remember, you know, hearing that story growing up, somebody, I'm sure, at school. And writers have speculated that maybe Charles was upset that they didn't catch any fish that day. But no matter, the dad seemed to have forgotten that the act is often more important than the outcome.
That's a great story. You know, I often think, you know, where I thought you were going with the story, and it makes sense that I love the comparison of it, but it also shows that it's really all about perspective, isn't it? Because yeah. I thought that the dad, if he had reflected not on a day that he went fishing with his son as a day wasted, but reflected on a day he went fishing with his dad back whenever, he might have looked at it in the same way Henry did, right? Yeah. And I think that's what's really interesting. And it actually shows the power and how we get screwed up as adults, quite frankly, and how as kids, we pretty much got it right. And it's really funny. The other day, we were walking up the street in our neighborhood, and there was a family, and they were just sitting on the grass. They put a little blanket out, and they had this little like Rubbermaid thing, and they had toys in it. And they were throwing balls around, and it was a couple of kids and the dog, and then an hour and a half later, they were all still there. And then we saw them starting to pack up or whatever. And I thought to myself, what a simple activity that was. And yet for those kids, when they grow up, I guarantee you that it won't be them talking about the time they went to Disney World or the time they went to Legoland or they went anywhere else. It'll be the times they got to just sit in the grass in their neighborhood and play with mom and dad and the dog, you know, doing these kinds of things. And there's such a genuine simplicity and humanness, for lack of a better word, you know, about that whole engagement that is really, really powerful, right? I mean, it's amazing. And I think in terms of, you know, when we think about work, it's a bit the same, right? When we think about reflecting on experiences that we've had at our company, it oftentimes aren't. It isn't about the big, big things. It's about the day-to-day engagement and interactions we've had with the people close to us at our organization. It was a time we all went out for beers after this one thing that we did together one time that we'll never forget. It was completely impromptu. It was all of that, right? But, you know, it really does speak to this. Who you surround yourself with matters. It speaks to perspective, and it speaks to us maybe just once in a while stopping and reflecting and appreciating and recharging our batteries just a little bit in order to, you know, be the best person we can be in every aspect of our life.
I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you did it. I wasn't there and I didn't experience it, but through you kind of vicariously, I did. So it's just the thought of it, just the thought of the barge was pretty spectacular, yeah. You know, for me, just that kind of place.
So I was glad in the CEO World article that, you know, I sent them a couple of images that they included because I thought it was important, and just because I typically don't do that. I don't include images with the article. Right. We'll typically populate it with what they've got. But in this case, and I was really grateful that they used them because it kind of painted a picture of it isn't a big cruise ship. It isn't a river cruise. There's a level of serenity around this whole experience that is very different. And Peter and Wendy Carrington, who run the St. Louis barge, are just the most wonderful people. And you just feel like you don't feel like a guest. Or I shouldn't say, you don't feel like a passenger. You feel more like a guest in their home than you do some paying customer on a, you know, at a hotel or on a larger vessel or something. So it's there's something, again, it's a bit like the fishing story. It's a bit like, you know, why it's so powerful when the family just sits with a blanket in a little patch of park in the neighborhood and just enjoys one another, you know. Yeah. Really great stuff. And worked really well. And it was exciting, and I'm you know, all rejuvenated. When was the last time you got a really great 2-week vacation?
Yeah, you know, you're right? Hello pot meat kettle.
Yeah,
that's my deal. But I was the prototypical, like, yep. So many people in the audience, I guarantee, I was the prototypical absolute workaholic. And I've got no excuse and I got no explanation other than just my own foolishness, you know, until I got older and better understood it. You know, I get the grind, believe me, I get the pressure of, and for me, it was never a leaning toward, you know, I can't leave. They can't be without me. I never had that high opinion of myself. I more felt guilty for the people I was leading, that, you know, it's really not fair to impose on them, you know, which then you wrestle with the guilt of, okay, well, you're going to deprive your family, you're going to deprive yourself and really deprive your own business because you don't want to impose on these people. You know, and this is life in small business, you know, and I'm talking small business, you know, under $30 million. I mean, it's a grind. It's a grind. And so I'm sure there are a ton of people out there. I'm here. I can I've lived long enough, thankfully, to say with proper planning and architecture, you're without excuse. You're without excuse. It begins with desire. You know, I wished in prior life, I'd wanted it badly enough. I could have absolutely made it happen. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have a guy like you preaching the message you're preaching, you know, or I would have been smarter sooner. So who you surround yourself with matters.
Well, we're all, you know, guilty of that. You know, like I said, we're both, you know, in the same neighborhood of age here. And we talk about how little kids appreciate things. And this is where I think, and we've chatted about this before too, you know, kids and folks our age who are grandparents get along really, really well. Why? Kids look at the world through the eyes of kind of being born of innocence. I think we look at it hopefully through some acquired wisdom. And I think both of those align really, really well. So it is the part in the middle that we have to fight through. Like, how do we not screw ourselves up and those around us during those years? In between. Yeah. So, you know,
I'm a far better better grandparent than I was a parent, you know.
Well, it's a little easier.
You know, that's...
But, you know, it's... yeah, but we all learn, you know. We all... Everybody's just trying to figure it out, you know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, and I don't think it's profitable for any of us, including me, to spend a lot of time beating ourselves up. I think part of it, and part of your message, even in the piece, whether it's, you know, absolutely stated or there's an inference there, you know, I mean, you got to make the time. You got to make the time, and today's the day. I mean, this is your life, and there are the people in your life, as evidenced by the Adams story. There are these impacts that we're having, not only on our own life, but the lives of the people that work around us and with us and our family. It's a ridiculous notion to not make that investment in yourself.
Well, and I think finally, just to say too, that and what I hope to really drive home there is that it's a false construct to suggest that time off means lost productivity. Time off actually means greater productivity. And when you look at it that way, and you look at that whole, and you look at it over time, and again, not long, long time, but just even through the course of a year, I think we all just need that, and we all need that for one another. And the more we support each other, the better off we're going to be with that. But anyway, it was good, you know, that you know, we had a bit of a situation with all good. Brian Solis had something come up. He had texted us well in advance of whatever before. So we're really still, excited to get on the show soon to talk about life scale. So I'm really into doing that. And I want to, you know, starting tomorrow, we'll work together to get that rescheduled as soon as possible. So if not next week, we'll make this happen fast. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a book that's congruent with the topic as well, you know.
Oh, so, it's all about it. It's all about it. In fact, I hope we can get him on next week so we can just play off of the whole, you know, thing here. And he can really.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that I'd forgotten before you left that we teased him appearing, and then he had something come up that, you know, was insurmountable. But
yeah
it's all good. There's the book. So I've got the black background gone, so I can hawk the book some more, What Anyone Can Do by Leo Battari. You can go to Leo's website to find the book. You can find it at Amazon, anywhere you want. LeoBottari.com is the website. We appreciate everybody listening. I'll hawk one more time. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. And I would also hawk, leave us a review over at iTunes. They claim it may help discoverability and all this other stuff. I don't know, but it makes us feel better about ourselves. So why not? Leave us a 5-star review.
If you've never been on a barge, which until 2 years ago, I never was, never thought about even doing it. And it was so great that 2 years later, I went back to do it again. You got to love the St. Louis barge. We'll leave a link on that as well. You want to take some time off and really get restorative? Let me just tell you that your stress will be gone by the time you're done with that cruise, particularly.
Now, refresh my memory, but he was a guest. Was he not a guest in the pier?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Peter Carrington. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah,
We'll put a link to that show. That was the first iteration of this podcast, You're the Peer.
Peter,
and it's interesting Peter, story.
Both great, but Peter is hilarious, very fun guy. You know, great sense of humor. They run an incredible business. It's a labor of love for them, and you feel that every day you're with them. And so good stuff. But anyway, I think for now we are all good. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks. To learn more about our show and what we do, to submit questions to us, and to subscribe to What Anyone Can Do podcast,
please visit our website, whatanyonecando.com. What Anyone Can Do podcast is hosted by Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Music provided by Kevin McLeod is Vibe Ace, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks for watching or listening. We hope you'll share the podcast.